really random question. The topic of my lesson tonight is you are equipped. And this has to do with my lesson, so it's not that random. Who thinks, okay, let me give you some background. I wrestled in high school as a sophomore. I wrestled in high school. I weighed 152. I am now not 152. A little heavier than that. But I wrestled back in high school. I played lacrosse. Never played football. Who thinks right now they could take me in a fight? Okay, Alvin's pretty confident. I know Jordan could. Marie, you got some weird powers. I know you could. Okay. Chelsea's like, I'm a triple black belt. Of course I can take you now. I just did yoga today. All right, let me ask a different question. I'll ask the same question. Who thinks they could take me in a fight now?
It's a machete.
Dave, you raised your hand the second time. This is Josh Silva style. You guys are joking. There's something powerful about owning a weapon, right? I am now equipped. You can't mess with me. I'm afraid of myself, honestly, with this in my hand. I'm not going to put this down. Wrath might be able to take me. There's something powerful that happens when you get equipped. I'm going to give this back. There's the illustration.
Go, Matt.
He's got an umbrella. There's something really powerful that happens when you get equipped. And in the world, you get a knife, you get Vinny's dull machete, you know, you get Josh Silva's blade knife thing. You have all these different things that you could have. But as a disciple, when Jesus equips you, you are so dangerous. When God equips you, people cannot mess with you. And I don't think you guys understand that. I think you gotta understand, disciples, brothers and sisters, if you got baptized and you're right in God, you are equipped. You're more dangerous than any other person on this earth. Can I get an amen? Amen. Dangerous for a lot of different reasons. Tonight we're getting into the lesson entitled, You Are Equipped. And we're going to be working our way through the book of Matthew. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. You are equipped. My first point is that Jesus equips you. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus calls his first disciples. Right there in verse 18, it says, as Jesus is walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. So Jesus goes out. You guys are familiar with this scripture. We're going to work all the way through the book of Matthew. Jesus goes out, finds these fishermen, these unequipped fishermen, these guys who didn't make it to be rabbis, these unqualified men of the water. He goes up to them and goes, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Mark chapter 1 says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus was calling them, but not only was he calling them, he was equipping them. He was saying, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. In other words, these guys just got a full ride to Jesus University.
All right.
They got a full ride. They said, come follow me and I'll take care of you.
Come on, Matt.
I'll pay the tuition, I'll pay room and board, I'll pay for all of it. Come follow me. And that's what happened. From then on, they didn't have to worry about money. They didn't worry about where they laid their head. They just rolled with Jesus and all the perks that came with them. The cool thing is in the very same way, when Jesus calls you, he's giving you a full ride to Jesus University.
Amen.
He's enrolling you in his classes. He's taking care of tuition. He's taking care of and all those things. But then he goes ahead and gives you some stipends. You want to hear the stipends that Jesus gives you? Well, Acts chapter 2 says when you're called by Jesus and you're right with him, first of all, he forgives you of all your sin. He removes all the guilt, all the shame, all the past washed away. Amen. Okay? It gives you the church. He says, you know what? Come follow me, and I will give you a band of brothers and sisters. We're going to go forward in one direction to do incredible things with this world. That's yours. Day one, welcome to the team. Even if you're not strong, even if you're not spiritual, you're surrounded by men and women who are on fire. Welcome to the church. Then he goes, okay, now I'm going to give you one more thing. The Holy Spirit.
Come on.
The moment that you come follow me, the moment that you get right with me, I'm going to give you the unstoppable Holy Spirit. From day one of your discipleship, you are unstoppable. You are equipped with the power of God. 2 Timothy 1 says, I did not give you a spirit of timidity, but of power, of God's love, of God's self-discipline. Like literally getting right with God, joining God's team, Jesus is equipping you with the most incredible powers that the world has to offer. You are equipped. Amen?
Amen.
Now, do you feel equipped sometimes?
No.
No. That corner doesn't. Everybody else feels silent. That's okay. Yeah, sometimes we don't feel equipped.
It's real.
But here's the fact. Inside your four walls, inside your corpse, is power that will blow your mind. And all that Satan wants to do is to distract you from understanding that that's what you're capable of.
Yeah.
Your scholarship package and joining Jesus University is amazing. You are equipped to do incredible things. Let's go one step further. In Matthew chapter 10, a couple chapters later, Jesus takes these unqualified fishermen and zealots and young disciples who don't really know what they're doing. To be honest, guys, Matthew chapter 10, these guys are knuckleheads. They're like Jesus walking on water and they're terrified because they think it's a ghost, right? They don't know what they're doing. And Jesus goes, hey, you knuckleheads, I love you. I've equipped you, and I'm going to show you that I equipped you. Matthew chapter 10, right there in verse 1, Jesus called the 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits, heal every disease and sickness.
Wow.
Skip down to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent them out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. Verse 9. Listen to this. This is how equipped God makes his disciples. This is how equipped God makes you at the get.
Come on, man.
At day one. I want you to listen to this and believe that you are as qualified as the first century Christians.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen.
This is what God thinks of you. Verse 9, do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra staff or sandals or a staff, extra shirt. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone has not welcomed you or listened to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. And it goes on. He's saying, don't bring any gold. Don't bring any bags. Don't bring an extra shirt or extra sandals. Go literally with the shirt on your back and the sandals on your feet, and that's enough for the mission that I've called you to. As a disciple of Jesus, you are so equipped. You are so taken care of.
Yeah.
God says, with whatever you have at your most basic form, you can go and do incredible things. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. Is that right there in Matthew chapter 9? So we're going to go back. We don't have to go back to one chapter. But Matthew 10, he sends out the 12 disciples. Sounds like a bird. All right. In Matthew chapter 10, he sends out the 12 disciples. In Matthew chapter 9, one chapter before, Jesus calls Matthew the tax collector to come follow him. Guys, how do you think Matthew's feeling when Jesus says, oh yeah, hey, tax collector, tomorrow you're going to go out and reach the entire nation of Israel.
Wow.
Matthew is one chapter old in the faith. I don't know what that translates to in days and months, but this is a young Christian.
Yeah.
And Jesus looks at this young Christian, this young follower of Jesus, and goes, hey, you are equipped to do incredible things. Whether you've been around for 2 months, 2 days, 2 years, 20 years, you are equipped because I've chosen you, I've given you the Spirit, I've given you the power. Now go at it.
Yeah.
And they go at it. You know, it's amazing, as you go forward a little bit, I'll get a nice picture in a second. If you go to the next picture here, in Matthew chapter 14, after Jesus' disciples have gone out, shared their faith, these unequipped kind of knuckleheads go out in the power that God has given them, they come back in Matthew chapter 14, and there's a crowd of 5,000 people following Jesus on the countryside, down by the water. They had done their jobs and done their jobs so well that after just a couple of chapters, 5,000 people are following Jesus.
Wow.
Guys, you are equipped. Do you believe that?
Good question.
From the get-go, as a disciple, you are equipped. So the point is, Jesus wants to use you now.
Amen.
Jesus doesn't want you to wait until you feel qualified. Until years have gone by where you're now this master speaker. You've got the gift of, you know, getting in there and messing up people's minds and, you know, sharing the gospel power, all those things. Messing up people's minds, that's not the right thing to say. But Jesus is saying to you,
come on,
especially you young Christians, go use the power that you have now.
Amen.
You are equipped. You are capable. I think a lot of times, and I felt this way, I became a Christian when I was a sophomore in high school.
Ooh.
And so that was about 8.5 years ago. And so I was like, okay, my teen minister knows what he's doing. I'm going to rely on his spirituality, and that's going to be good. And then I came to college, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what I'm doing. Is there a felt that way? Raise your hand if you've ever said, I have no idea what I'm doing. Hallelujah, guys. I'm not alone. I felt like a pagan, man. So anyway, we get to college freshman year. Charles and I have no idea what we're doing.
Come on.
We just go, listen, we're going to be used by God. We're going to share our faith. We're going to do whatever God calls us to do. And that was a semester where I really learned how to study the Bible with people. That was a semester where I saw, oh my gosh, I'm a hot mess, but God uses hot messes like me.
Amen.
God wants to use a hot mess like you.
Let's go.
And that's a recipe for success right there. Listen to this. Some of these things you might not feel qualified for. Some of those things you might feel like, hey, I need to be X amount of years in the faith. I need to have X amount of knowledge in the faith. And I think we've grown a culture in our campus ministry of, I'm going to wait a little bit until I grab the bull by the horns. But that's not Jesus' way. You're following Jesus, and he has equipped you from the get. From week number one, from the moment that the Holy Spirit is inside you, you can lead a Bible study. Amen?
Amen. Come on, Matt.
From week number one of your faith, you can lead a Bible study. My mom got baptized in 1999, and the first week that she got baptized, one of the women said, hey, I can't make this baptism study. Can you lead it for me? My mom was like, no. They're like, you still have the notes? Yes. So you can lead the study. My mom led her first study. It was like a baptism study with some random woman who wanted to get baptized. It was amazing.
Wow.
But that just goes to show you are equipped to lead a Bible study.
Amen.
You are equipped to share your faith. Amen. You don't need lessons. You don't need to be taught. You can just go out today and go do that. Amen?
Amen.
You're equipped to go and encourage your sister on a date.
Come on.
From the get-go. The Holy Spirit has been given to you. You can go and love your sisters from day one.
Amen.
You were quick to come up here and do a welcome from day one. You're quick to come up here during midweek and close out the sermon with a prayer from day one. That's not for people who are like uber spiritual. Those are for every disciple. Every disciple is qualified. Jesus has equipped you. You know, I do gotta share this last thing. And to tell you the truth, like I said, these disciples were knuckleheads. They didn't really know what they were doing. In my freshman year in college, I was probably one of the biggest knuckleheads in the ministry. I remember getting together with Jordan Jones, and Jordan and I were studying the Bible, and we had some crazy memories. I almost burned down the cafeteria. But I remember Rob's like, dude, I can't be there. Can you do the baptism study? Or can you do repentance and baptism? I sat down, I taught Jordan what I thought was this experience of baptism. Jordan then goes and tells Rob, hey, this is what Matt taught me. Rob's like, dude, that is not what happens. So just so you guys know, my first couple of years as a disciple, I was teaching false doctrine, okay? However, Jordan got baptized biblically, praise God. And I've learned and I've grown since that. Amen, Jordan. I think the cool thing is that you're a mess. You're going to make mistakes. But if Jesus has equipped you, if Jesus has equipped you, you can do amazing things. You do not need to wait. What excuse is Satan feeding you saying that you aren't ready?
Good question.
What would Jesus say to that excuse? Why aren't you ready to do the Bible study? Yes, you are. God has equipped you. And you got to do anything for that except get right with him. He's given it to you. God wants to use you for great things. Now here's the thing. Matthew chapter 10 is known as the Little Commission. Okay, Matthew chapter 10 is known as the Little Commission. Jesus sends out his disciples. Scholars look at that and they go, hey, this isn't the Great Commission. This was the original Little Commission because it was just to the Israelites. And so from Matthew chapter 10 to Matthew chapter 28, something radical shifts. Because right when Jesus is ready to go back, ascend back into wherever he was going for three, you know, back into heaven, Jesus then flips the script and says, guys, you've graduated Jesus University. Guys, you've rolled with me for a couple of years now. You're ready for the great mission. Matthew 28 says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. For surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. The disciples in Matthew chapter 10 were very different from the disciples in Matthew 28. Jesus was not yet ready to give them the Matthew 28 Great Commission. Jesus gave them Matthew chapter 10 because they were equipped. They can go to all of Israel. They can go and teach it in the neighborhoods. That's not a big deal. But they weren't ready yet. I believe they weren't ready yet for Matthew 28. There was some pruning that needed to happen.
Yeah.
Peter's pride needed to be revealed and shut down and reworked and rehashed. John needed to learn how to love. I mean, all these things had to be worked out. Matthew 28, the disciples there are different because they've grown. They've expanded. They've matured. So the point of this, the second point here, is get trained. Guys, the truth is, you are amazing. You are powerful. You can do amazing things. But God doesn't want to just do you for amazing things. He wants you to change the world.
Amen.
And that only happens after you are trained. When you surrender to Christ and work through those things, that's when incredible things are going to happen. The Little Commission to the Great Commission. Jesus trained his disciples. It was deliberate. It was uncomfortable. It was stretching the disciples. And they grew. Brothers and sisters, this summer is our summer of training. Who you are, I'm sure Mark talked about this a little bit, but who you're going to be in August can be radically different from who you are right now. You know, like Vinny gave me the machete. I have no idea what to do with the machete. I'm dangerous with the machete. But you give me 3 months with the machete, watch out. I know what I'm doing. I can wield it. I can do the deeds. Crazy, right? 3 months of training this summer, maturing and equipping. God wants to use you to change the world, but you gotta continue going to class at Jesus University. Let's talk about 3 quick things, and then we'll get out of here. Let's sing one more song and close up. Let's talk about 3 quick things that what you can do this summer to get training. You guys ready for this? I need someone to read Hebrews chapter 12, 11 through 13. Someone read that? All right, Tommy, I saw your hand first. Tommy, Hebrews chapter 12, 11 through 13. While you're turning there, one thing you can do to get training this summer is to be uncomfortable. Is to put yourself in uncomfortable situations. Tommy, you there?
Hebrews 12:11-13.
Yeah, go for it, bro. Nice and loud. Right. Stand up.
Alright. Therefore, straighten your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed.
That was Hebrews 12?
Oh!
Keep going, bro.
Oh, verse 11?
11 to 13, yeah.
I read verse 12.
That's right, bro. Here we go. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 through 13. Sorry, Tommy. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. Verse 7. Endure discipline. Endure hardship as discipline. You know, this summer, if you're going to grow, you have to endure hardship. You know, the quickest way to grow is by making yourself uncomfortable. That's how you're going to grow this summer. Actually engaging in hardship, engaging in uncomfortable situations, you will grow. You know, our dad at CTP, I pulled all of our guys, all of our group together, and I said, hey guys, this is a really incredible program, but it's going to be even better if every time they offer you something to do, you raise your hand and you get uncomfortable. Josh Silva sang La Montaña 3 times, okay? Tommy got up and shared some challenge that was awesome. But he was terrified, but he did it, and it was great. You know, Sky got up, and she prayed, and it was amazing. But they put themselves in uncomfortable situations. Guys, this summer, you got to put yourself in uncomfortable situations. Getting on campus, sharing your faith. Maybe getting on campus and sharing with 100 people in one day. Getting up, doing the welcome. Getting on campus, setting up an on-study, on-the-spot Bible study. Street preaching. Going up to another fellow disciple and saying, what in my character do you see that I need to change in order to be more like Jesus? If you engage in the uncomfortable this summer, you will grow exponentially. If you stay comfortable, your rate of growth will be slow. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm going to skip one. I think it's so important, but I'm going to skip it. Last thing is be consistent in the little things. Bill Belichick. You guys know who Bill Belichick is?
Yes, sir.
Us in New Jersey and New York do not like Bill Belichick, but he's the most winning coach in the NFL. He's the coach for the Patriots. He says this. He goes, it's not all about talent. It's about dependability, consistency, being able to improve. If you work hard and are coachable and you understand what you need to do, you can improve. Bill Belichick, the most winning coach of all time, reiterates what Jesus says. Because if you can just be consistent and be dependable, you will grow. I think a lot of times in the campus ministry, we have a desire to do these great things to grow exponentially. But the truth is, growth happens over time. It takes 5 years to get 5 years experience. It takes 10 years to get 10 years experience. You can't shortcut those things. And so the biggest thing for your growth this summer, as well as being uncomfortable, is doing the little things consistently. If you can read your Bible every day, you will grow this summer.
Yeah.
You can pray every day, you will grow this summer. That's the goal. You know, guys, we're gonna wrap it up here. We're gonna pray. I'm going to skip that. Okay. Truth is, you guys are equipped. You're unstoppable. And you're equipped to do great things now, today. But in order to do the world-changing things that God has designed you to, you got to be intentional about your training. You got to go after getting in the gym, the spirit of the gym, in uncomfortable situations, gaining the consistency, and God will grow you. You are equipped. Guys, let's pray together. Let's close out. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much. I envision this room, and I just think about what it is that you want to do through every person in this room. You know, the kingdom of God, as you said, is like a mustard seed. When planted, it's so small, but then it grows to be this great tree that the birds come and perch itself on it. God, your church, your group, these men and women right here, the people you love, God, you've made us capable of so many things. And I pray that as we're trying to fight to grow, be more mature, and be strengthened for you, God, that we just get out of the way. We stop letting Satan tell us that we're not ready, that we're not ready to do these things. But instead, we just boldly step out on faith and say, God, give me the opportunities. I will do it. God, give us the opportunities to grow. Help us be more spiritual for you. Help us be intentional about our growth, God. We love you. We want to be the best we can be for you, Jesus. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.